Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day.
Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. Our Gospel lesson for this morning comes from Luke, the 24th chapter, verses 13 through 35. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village from Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. And then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going away. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." Here ends our Gospel lesson. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, here we are still in our third week of the Easter season. And what an Easter season it is proving to be. I am very appreciative of stories from a particular Gospel story, which tells us of Jesus journeying with the disciples after his resurrection. You might think it was all said and done by that point, all wrapped up in a tight little bow. But Jesus had more to teach, had more to show, and more miracles, both especially the miracle of his presence, to share with his followers. I'm appreciating the journey elements of our Gospel passage for this week, because that's what it feels like we are on. A journey of figuring out, how is the world changed? How does the world deal with this infection? How do we live our lives and try and continue to work and maybe get back to work, even while the threat looms out there somewhere? For us as a church, we will, like I said in the beginning, we are going to be having a meeting here, but again, urge that this is not over yet. We are still on this journey. We are still dealing with this evil of infection, and we will for some time to come. So we need to practice safety and all that. But I hope that you can see what the disciples, those two disciples, Cleopas and the other unnamed one, as they were on that road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And we know this was about a 7-mile journey, or at least I'm pretty sure I heard that one once. If somebody wants to fact check me on that, I suppose I welcome it. On this journey of several miles, these two are talking about everything that happened during that first Passover Holy Week, in which Jesus began teaching and being welcomed in as a king on a foal and with palms and coats laid before him, and ended the week on the cross. These two did not yet know that Jesus had been resurrected. So they were figuring out this great unknowns as they talked and they walked. So this stranger comes up along beside them. And the text says that their eyes were kept from recognizing who this guy was. Even though this passage indicates that they were also disciples, though they were not amongst the 12, the original 12, they were indeed disciples. So they knew Jesus, right? They knew him by face, they knew his voice, everything. And yet they were kept from recognizing him. And they talked, and Jesus ended up teaching them about all of scriptures and the prophets and the meaning of all the prophecies that laid expectation for him to come into the world. And still they did not recognize him. They lamented with this stranger about everything that had happened in Jerusalem. They told him, oh, this is near and dear to our hearts, and we are broken. We are broken. Because we do not know what God is up to in our lives right now. And still they did not recognize the Savior right beside them. Now, ultimately, it takes their breaking of the bread with Jesus around the table in the village when they arrived for them to suddenly see. Suddenly, as they are gathered once again around that physical table, that physical bread that they share safely together, that they see and encounter face to face a resurrected Jesus. And poof, he vanishes. Now, this story is a reason why, kind of reinforcing the importance of communion. Yes, we were commanded through the words of institution and Jesus last evening on Monday, Thursday with his disciples as they were gathered around that in that upper room to share the bread and the wine. So we are indeed commanded and Jesus instructed us how to commune. But in this story, this experience of these two disciples with Jesus in Emmaus, we get to see how powerful the breaking of the bread actually is after Jesus was resurrected. Namely, when they broke bread, they saw Christ in their midst. When they broke bread together, they saw Christ in their midst. But this week I've also been focusing on the journey elements of this story, as I mentioned earlier. It's really kind of funny, and I think is analogous to many experiences in our lives. When we feel like we're on the journey, when we're traveling, when we're going, when we're waiting to get there, wherever there is, that we don't really see things as fully or as clearly as when we arrive. And we're traveling, and when we're en route, there's all sorts of sights and sounds and stuff that we can't fully take in or understand the meaning of it until after we've arrived, and perhaps even years down the road when we remember the experience of that journey. When we look back on the journey we've already traveled It's in the looking back that we see what was really going on the whole time. For me, this has been a journey of, I've been telling many people, I've been launched for the past month or so plus to be a full-time stay-at-home dad and a full-time stay-at-home pastor. I never really thought that those two job titles would overlap so necessarily and completely dominating my time and my attention. It's been a bit of a struggle. Like this morning, I woke up and to my daughter running into my room in tears, just in tears. My son Otto is a little over a year older than Freya, and so he's got some inches of height on her. And as we do in the morning, we normally open up the front dining room window to let the sunlight in. Now the occasion this morning that got my daughter so worked up is she came in crying and crying and crying. Only Daddy can help her and Daddy can save her. Daddy, Otto put the blinds of the window up too high and I can't pull them back down. Oh, I can't take the blinds back down because they're too high. Oh. If you can't tell, I'm losing my patience a little bit with these little demands and these little things. It's part of the journey. It's part of the struggle of this moment. And I fully admit it is a very small struggle compared to hearing all of stories of people losing businesses and jobs and incomes and you're struggling to pay the rent and figuring out just how they're gonna live from one month to the next. By a small token, my daughter Freya's little challenges of this morning that brought her to tears. She was fully crying and whining in my face this morning. It's not to relativize anybody's experience, but instead to acknowledge that these are all problems. What my daughter faced by not being able to reach up and pull the blinds back down because her brother had put them up too high was a real problem for her. It brought her to tears. Now in that instance, it's just the problems of youth, right? Of being a small child and learning how to deal with things that distress you and learn some emotional discipline, I guess, along the way and maturity. But nevertheless, it was a real problem for her. And I don't know if you're like me, there's been just feels like a million new little problems that made these past couple moments of feeling kind of hemmed in and isolated and lonely and struggling in various ways, at times anxious, at times maybe kind of depressed too. It's, in many ways, it's the million little things that are getting to us and mount to a larger experience of adversity and hardship. There are so many reasons for us to feel depressed and shut down in this time as we are on this journey. But I'm sure that I will look back at all these thousands of moments that have made me feel so impatient, so incompetent, so frustrated as both a father and as a pastor this past month. And I will have a renewed sense of gratitude. I will recognize that God was walking with me side by side that whole time. All those moments I felt were somehow godless or not particularly faithful or prayerful or spiritual at all will have new meaning. We'll have new meaning when we had arrived to a destination where we are able to gather at this table once again, breaking bread like we used to. There will be moments down the road when we have clarity. Understand that what we have been working through and journeying through all this time is not for naught. But God can use all of these challenges for bigger purposes, bigger meaning, and bigger significance. And we will see in that moment that God indeed was walking with us in moments when we didn't even recognize him. We couldn't even see Jesus by our side. But when we arrive at the table together once again, united around the bread and the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior, who endured that calamitous, chaotic, crazy week in Jerusalem for our sakes, suffering even death on a cross. When we gather around this table, we will see him face to face in a new way, just like those two disciples did when they finally arrived at Emmaus and were finally able to see their Lord again, because they broke bread with him once again. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you have enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.